Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Warning. This episode contains foul language, ghost sex, and the greatest poem ever written.
Weirdos.
Hey, hey.
You're listening to Keep It Weird. This is the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, spooky, gross, scary, and everything in between. And this is part two of our Holly Weird episode. Holly Weird is the word made up by my co-host, Lauren.
Don't put that on me. It's a lie.
I wish it was true. It's not true. She didn't make it up. If you listen to part one, you would know that. Speaking of, you do not need to listen to part one to listen to part two, but you should because we had a ton of fun.
It's a little bit longer, has a little more
information. Wasn't a good place to cut that one because
it just went on.
Just went on and on and on, but it's a ton of fun. And our guest this week is Blair Gorman, who is just the coolest.
Such a delight.
Blair works in stop animation on the show Super Mansion and Robot Chicken, and she is the official meme queen of the internet, I swear to God.
True.
Anyways, enough about our perfect guest. You're going to hear a lot from her this week, so look forward to that. She has a really wonderful voice.
She does, and she doesn't like hearing herself, which makes me upset because she sounds amazing.
She sounds incredible.
She's the perfect rasp.
She was like, I'm probably not going to listen to this because my voice. Yeah. And I was editing and I was like, she has a really good voice.
She could be like a sexy phone operator. What sexy are those called? Phone. Like 900 numbers. Like she's got the good low rasp goodness to her voice. She's fun to listen to. I like it a lot.
I do too.
So you can welcome back Blair.
Welcome back, Blair.
Speaking of, Blair sent us an update, which was something we covered in part one, correct? Yes, we talked about Hollywood Forever a little bit. And
which
Blair,
is owned by Paramount.
Which, yes, is owned by Paramount. And so Blair sent us this text following the episode and said, just wanted to let you guys know that my friend informed me some of the Hollywood Forever bodies were buried under Paramount's property. So a few years ago, when a pipe burst and flooded the studio, the bodies started floating up onto the ground level of the property. And this is probably why people there are seeing ghosties going to and fro. And then she ended it with, holy fack.
Holy facts.
Special facts. So that was crazy. It is just hearsay at this point, but what a crazy story.
Yeah, I tried to look up, a news story or something where that actually happened.
Same.
Because that's some poltergeist shit right there.
Yeah. Like, that's
it's
insane.
It's like the actual movie Poltergeist.
The bodies
right there.
Coming up in the pool.
Woo. But I mean, what it could have been something as simple as like a pipe burst and it flooded and people were smelling something horrible.
Like a rotten smell.
Yeah, a rotten smell. And then they discovered that like Paramount was actually built on some of the graves, which still really fucked up. But, you know, not bodies bursting through the floor.
Maybe not actual bodies were seen, but then people just came up with their own conclusions after.
And then the rumors spread and then all of a sudden it went from like, it smells weird to there's bodies in the floor.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Still a cool story.
Very cool story. That's terrifying. No, but that I tried to research it. I was trying to look up like this ever happening and I couldn't find anything. But of course, like the conspiracy theorist in me was like, well,
they're
obviously if something like that would happen,
you would do everything you could to
keep that out of the public eye. Paramount would not want that release. No one would want to work with them ever again.
No.
People would not
We built our facilities over the graves.
Over some graves.
Yeah. That's not a good look, Paramount.
I agree.
I don't know if it's true.
I tried to look it up and at first was disappointed. Like, man, this must just be rumors. I can't find any news stories. And then I had that same moment of, well, why would this be like public news that we all can find easily?
Yeah. Especially if it wasn't bodies floating up and it's just like, it smells weird. That could be easily covered. Like, well, it was sewage.
Yep.
And maybe it was sewage. Anyways, we don't know.
But crazy.
But crazy nonetheless. I have a couple of things. We had several people write in this week, which was really cool. We really appreciate that. That's
Thanks,
our
Holly
favorite
weirdos.
Thing. Yeah, Holly Weirdos. Mm, another word made up by
Wood. You know, just that one might be me.
Natalie Wood. We had a listener write in. Her name is Lacey, and she's a dream. She was commenting on some of our Instagram pics. Lacey said that in the documentary style TV show Too Young to Die, which you can watch on Netflix, they include Natalie Wood's death and I believe she said episode 5. What originally attributed to her lifelong fear of water is her own mother telling her when she was a child that she saw that she was going to drown in dark water. So her own mother told her that when she was a little girl. And that's what like first made her like, oh, I'm terrified of water now.
Right.
Apparently, when she was pregnant with Natalie, she saw a medium or fortune teller or something who told her Natalie's death would be related to water and told her to tell her to keep away from murky waters. So all through growing up, Natalie was afraid of water. Following her into adulthood, she wouldn't even get into her own pool at her house, which That's gives insane. Even more credence to the fact that she wouldn't willingly get into the water that night. Like
right.
even to get into a boat to
she
go to land.
She never would have gotten in the water.
She wouldn't have gotten anywhere near
this
it.
This fear has been instilled in her from in the womb.
And that's not like a, you know, that wasn't something that came out after she died. That was something that was like public knowledge throughout
Before.
Her career that she was scared of water.
I know.
Actually,
Crazy
Betty
time.
Davis even threatened to quit production. I don't remember what movie it was that they were on together, but she threatened to quit if Natalie had to perform a water-ish type stunt because Natalie was... So
scared.
This is crazy. To give credence to what I had speculated about, how I didn't think that Robert Wagner purposefully pushed her in and held her down, but that he just didn't help when he, you know, should have helped her. Apparently, Lana, Natalie's sister, has said that at one point when Dennis DeVerne, who was the captain, mm-hmm, if you remember, mm-hmm. had a little bit to drink. This was like months or years after the death of Natalie. He had a little bit to drink, and he told Lana that Robert and Natalie were fighting and that Natalie went in somehow, and Dennis moved to help her, and Robert said, quote, leave her there, teach her a lesson.
No.
Yeah.
No
Dennis DeVerne denies this, but Lana says that to this day, she does not think that Robert killed her sister, but she definitely thinks that there is more to the story that needs to be uncovered.
Yikes.
Bikes.
Whoa. That's Yikes, insane. Bikes. That's crazy.
I just want to know.
I know. I do, too.
I really do feel like it's one of those things where, like, the only way we're going to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, the cops aren't going to figure anything new out. No. The only way we're going to figure it out is, like, either Robert Wagner on his deathbed or Chris Walken on his deathbed.
Right.
Like,
it's
going to
be
Walken.
Someone coming mm-hmm. out with the truth last minute.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it. I'm so bad at just letting mysteries be. Like, I used to watch the show Unsolved Mysteries, and I was like, why do I put myself through this? Because I have to know.
Have you seen the Jeepers Creepers episode of Unsolved Mysteries?
Excuse me?
Okay, so the movie Jeepers Creepers, mm-hmm. which is awesome, except
I'm familiar.
We can't enjoy it that much anymore because the guy who directed it is a huge pedophile and
huge
child rapist.
Bag of
so
crap.
That's horrible. But that concept of like the couple, it was a couple in real life. It wasn't a brother-sister duo, but it was a man and a woman, and they were driving some like back road country garbage street, and they saw what they thought was a person moving a body, and they, you know, kept driving and decided, like, we have to call this in. This seems crazy. And the person came after them and, like, tried to run them off the road. But no joke, like, the Unsolved Mysteries episode where they're doing the reenactment, it's, like, shot for shot the first, like, 30 minutes of
Jeepers Creepers.
Of Jeepers Creepers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My gosh. Do you think Jeepers Creepers got their inspiration from that?
Possibly. Possibly.
Is it just crazy coincidence?
He never mentioned it.
All right.
So maybe not. But even like down to like the design of the truck, the beating you truck. Be eating you.
Right. Be eating you.
Be eating you. I love
it. Interesting.
We have another write-in. I love that you're going to love this one. This is one of your stories. So Scotty Youngbauer, who is one of your favorite guests on our show. He was in our dolls episode, and he was also in
our web, our dark
Pete's sake.
Web.
Yeah, the dark web ep. And he wrote in, he's like, he's seen every movie that's ever been made, I think.
Actually the craziest thing I've ever encountered. If you talk to him
I'm like,
and mention
movie?
A movie,
he's like, seen yeah, I've seen it.
It could be this crazy obscure film. And
I try and like stump him. If I see a movie that I'm like, Scott hasn't seen this, and I bring it up, and he's like, yeah, that's the one with so-and-so.
And he knows every line to every movie, too, which you do that as well. I don't understand your memory, but
well,
it's fine.
I'm an idiot savant.
You are.
So Scott wrote in a movie recommendation for you all, and I guess us, because I doubt you've seen this movie. I haven't seen this movie. Maybe you
probably
have.
Not.
I don't want to like put that on you.
I probably haven't.
There's a movie called The Cat's Meow from 2001 starring Kirsten Dunst.
What?
Edward Herrmann and Eddie Izzard. And
what?
It's about
cast is this?
Right? It's my dream cast. It's about the mysterious murder of Thomas Ince.
Okay.
Yeah. So the whole movie takes place on the boat the night of the party. Okay. How do you pronounce the guy's name from Carrie Yules? Is that how you pronounce his name? From Princess Bride and Saw?
Oh, right.
It's like Yules. Yules.
I know. I feel like I've heard it said so many different ways.
Carrie
I say
Yules.
Yeah.
I say Yules too, but I'm kind of like,
I know. I don't know if that's correct. That's how I've said it for all of time.
Your whole life. Okay, cool. So Carrie Yules plays Thomas Ince, whose birthday they were celebrating on the boat. Edward Herrmann, a.k.a. Richie Rich's dad, plays
of course.
William Randolph Hearst.
Dun, dun, dun.
Kirsten Dunst plays Marion Davies, who has a fling with Charlie Chaplin, who's portrayed by Eddie freaking Izzard.
I was going to ask, who's Eddie? It's Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin.
It's my dream movie.
Apparently supposed to be the target,
yes,
which we discussed.
Also, apparently, because whoever made this movie made it especially for me, Jennifer Tilly plays Luella Parsons.
Oh, my God.
Who was the gossip columnist that maybe possibly... probably helped Hearst cover up the murder of Ince.
Sure, as most people did.
Yeah, anyways, it's got like a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's kind of surprising, and I'm definitely going to check this out for Eddie Izzard alone, because he's my favorite.
That's
person.
Awesome. Yeah. And what's so funny is when I was reading the story last week, I even thought, I wonder if anyone has made a movie on this, which I figured someone had, but it was probably this like under the radar, blah, blah, blah. But this actually seems like a pretty good movie that I want to watch.
Too.
I think this will be good. I like that cast.
Yeah, from what I read, like the reviews and stuff, mostly it said like the performances are incredible. The story's kind of like so-so. But the thing is like that's not, I don't know how I would make an interesting like 2-hour movie about that small event.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like Hearst thinks that his wife or lover?
It was
or
a lover. Yeah, people said they were always kind of like
with like Charlie
undercover.
Chaplin, and then
tries to
shoot a guy.
But I think there's more before and after the yacht event that could keep.
I think
interest.
Well, that's what I think would be a better movie. Is I think that if you had the yacht event at the very beginning of the movie, and then you saw everything that took place after
that, the cover-ups, like the people who were silenced,
like,
and
people that were silenced, and also I was reading somewhere that like almost every single person's testimony, there was like not one person that said the same thing as another person.
Right, it kept changing.
Yeah, it kept changing, and like no one had the same story.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's
absolutely
a lot like the Natalie Wood situation, only a whole boat full of people.
And it's a lot like Superman, like that story where everyone's story was changing in the house. That's when you know shit is shady.
Shady. I mean, I think that's just a Hollywood thing.
Like, it is.
You know, it very well could be that the person who carried out, you know, for example, Christopher Walken was hot shit, but he wasn't, you know, Robert Wagner was at the time, like at the height of his career, he was sort of an institution.
Right.
So he could have very easily, you know, Christopher Walken could have known a little bit more
then he, but like at the time, it's like, she's already dead. What am I going to do? Like, especially if Robert Wagner is like, do you want to have a career?
Exactly. It's like, yes, you better stay quiet.
I do want to have a career.
And that's William Randolph Hearst. He was able to silence everyone around him because he was one of the most powerful men in Hollywood.
Was he a producer? Just crazy.
I forget.
I know, me too.
I'm blanking. And I know it was in that article I was reading. He was a media mogul of sorts.
Yeah, it was a film mogul is what it said, which I assume that means like producer, you know, the studio or something.
I mean, he, like we were saying, he basically owned actresses, but I don't know exactly what his title was.
I bet he owned a studio. Didn't he own?
I don't know.
No, I don't either. I
guys, if you're out there, you're probably screaming the answer at us.
Shouting at us because we probably said it 7 days ago.
But yeah, he's someone very important. Very important. I mean, we know he had a lot of power and that sucked for Thomasins.
So the only other thing before we like jump into this episode is I texted my friend Dan and then he had to text my friend Yuriko, but we tracked down one of the videos from the escape house that I told you guys about, how we were hearing that screaming, which is that in the first part or is that in this part?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. Yeah, it may be in part two.
Is it in part two or part one?
I actually want to say it's in part two. I feel like you said it towards the end.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, so when should we splice this in?
Well, yeah, we'll play this audio for you. This is the audio from the escape house that I talked about. Last week or this
either
week.
Talked about or is or, about to talk
or about.
About
to talk about.
Either way, it'll be relevant.
We're going to put this in here somewhere. May I? Do you have it
yes,
open?
Yes, I have it pulled
Wonderful.
Up.
So I'm going to play this for you guys here. You watch this, yeah?
Yeah.
Holy moly. Okay. I know. This is, there was a longer video and I, no one really knows what happened to it, but they did send me like a little one. So here's the audio for the escape room scream.
Game Masters, this is what's happening. The music is off, sound is off. Listen. Again.
What? So that scream was out of nowhere.
That scream is out of nowhere. I mean, the thing is that you can see it's a video, so you can see the people in the room. You can see that there's not a, because the thing is sometimes we do have like parties where there's like 18 kids in one room and they're loud and they're shouting and they're screaming, blah, 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 blah. And it's a nightmare. But this was just like two people working the room and the people in the room are even like, what the hell is that?
Yeah,
like,
they thought it was part of the around. Game,
but it's not.
And how many people were in there at the time?
Well, Dan was in the room. I think there like was only the two. Room.
It was just those two people that we see.
Those two people that was in the room. They were only doing one room. It was the Royal Palace. And Dan was, I think he was training someone because he had someone else in the like control room with him.
Yeah.
But they both said like we were not playing any audio. Like no one else was in the house with us. It was very clearly in the house.
Yeah.
It wasn't like something happening on the street. And he was basically like, I don't know what the fuck this is. And he sent it to us that night and was like, guys, have you ever heard anything like
right.
this? And we were what like, of course scream? We haven't. This is the scariest thing I've ever heard.
Ooh.
If I heard something like that, I would move to a different state.
Right. I'd head out of town real quick on horseback.
On horseback.
I don't know why on horseback.
On a rocket ship. Anyways. So I definitely wanted to share that with you guys. Do you have anything else to add before we pop into this sode?
I don't think so. Those were the main things from Blair and our other wonderful listeners. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly over here Googling what William Randolph Hearst was. He was an American businessman, politician, and newspaper publisher who built the nation's largest newspaper chain and media company, Hearst Communications. That's what it is. Because I was like, I swear he had his own business.
Yeah, because Hearst Communications. The woman that the Luella or whatever that Jennifer Tilly plays in the movie.
Yeah.
She was like a gossip columnist.
That's how he was able to hire her.
And he hired her. I'm pretty sure he hired her as part of the cover up.
Yep. And that makes sense. Hearst Communications. I was sitting here like, is it like a production company? Yes. So sorry to everyone for us not knowing things all the time. Bye.
Sorry,
thank
we don't
you.
Know.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for listening.
So if you ever listen to an episode and you have some fun things to add for us, whether it's movie recommendations or more to the story that you've heard or a cool documentary about the thing that we're talking about, please send it in to us.
Yes, we love it.
It's like our favorite thing. We it doesn't happen every episode, but when it does, we get very, very, very excited.
I know, because it helps our story go further. The things that we told you, it adds on to the story. It adds excitement.
And we will. We'll share it in the next episode.
Right.
And if you ever contribute to our show and you're like, give me a shout out, we'll give you a shout
always
out.
Will. And we just like being able to interact with you guys because we're so appreciative that you listen.
We love you so much.
We love you.
Anyways, we hope you enjoy part two of Holly Weird. And join us next week.
Yeah, it'll be three weeks in a row.
Next week, we're going to be talking about vampires.
Vampies. Good old vampies.
I'm very excited. So enjoy the episode and keep it weird.
Keep it weird.
Celebrity ghost stories. I want to hear a spooky one.
Right. Okay. The spooky one, which they're all fun.
Yeah.
But this one has like some little twisties in it.
Yes.
I like it.
Twisty.
So it involves Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke, who everyone knows
Alan
from Growing
Thicke
Pains,
is kind of,
you know.
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of Robin Thicke.
I know
and
you
I was
were.
Like, he's such a piece
Let's
of
not
shit.
Think
Ooh,
of Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke is a
again.
Super piece
ever
of shit.
Again.
Alan Thicke, the love.
Who is going to cheat on Paula Patton? Like, she's not a
And then write
actress.
A whole album that she didn't want about her. Like, she must felt so awful and so embarrassed.
She's not a great actress, but she's like one of the most beautiful people that's ever lived.
She's one of the most beautiful humans, and ew that he like was grinding on stage with Miley Cyrus. Like, get your shit together, sir. But Alan Thicke,
get all your shit,
hand.
Get it together and get the fuck out.
So
I don't want it.
That's not who
so
we're talking
about.
About.
It's not what it's about.
Well, and Alan died Thicke. Last
know.
Year.
I know, so sad.
Did
and
he?
What
he did.
I choose to remember him from is, you know, Tim and Eric and Steve Brule, Napples.
Yes.
Napples.
Oh my God.
Love Steve Brule.
Sweet Bay
Wine.
Could go on about that. No. That's not the time for this. I know.
Oh my gosh.
In my heart.
We have to watch a video.
That's all I ever want to talk about in my whole life. But I'm not going to do it. Instead, Napples. Soul Napples here. This is back before all that. This is in 1988.
Oh, okay.
Alan Thicke. The year of my birth.
Oh, really? I'm 89.
Me as
Oh, my God.
Well.
Right?
89.
The best. I don't remember.
Nope.
This whiskey is really starting to take effect.
I'm so glad that everyone likes it.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually something we did not talk about. This whiskey punch that we're drinking is not just like whiskey in a jar. It is Blair made infused whiskey. It sat for a month.
Yeah, you should, anytime you're infusing anything, for the most part, you should let it sit for at least a month. This is Honeycrisp Apple and rosemary. So especially if you're using a thick fruit like that, let it sit as long as you can.
You know what? I tell Joe that every time I'm in the bath and he's like, when are you going to get out? And I'm like, you have to let the thick fruit.
Let it ferment.
Ferment as let long it as it can. Infuse. Go on.
I agree. Fuck Joe.
Robin Thicke.
Not Robin Thicke. Alan Thicke. Napples.
Rest
So in 1988, he went on a peace mission with his son, Brennan, with the Red Army Choir. They're doing a song together. Has nothing to do with anything else in the story.
Okay.
But that's the
where they were.
Yeah.
So
why he went there. Went to Moscow. He went to the Grand Imperial Hotel. And he said, I just have this weird memory of watching him say this, where he's like, it was the coldest it possibly could have been on Earth. Not his voice at all, but that's what I choose to use. He was just so astonished.
The best way to do Alan Thicke's voice goes, that was so
this
deep.
This is not what
it
he sounds like.
You can't recreate it as a woman because he had that like, deep.
Yes, he was,
Here's
I'm a
thing.
Dad, I'm a father of many children, and we sort of have Christian
We are
values.
Very good at impressions here at Keep It Weird.
Yeah, you're going to hear more.
Welcome to Keep It Weird, where we impersonate male actors and we do a real good job.
Yes, we do. I'm proud of all of us here tonight. And we should be nominated for shit. So he goes to Russia to do this peace mission with his son. He gets to this hotel, the Grand Imperial Hotel, which is a very stoic building, very thick stone. And everyone there when he gets in the lobby is all either military or kind of the style of the time. Decidedly, it was very militaristic. So it had just a very strong presence. And he gets checked in. He's being led to his room. They shared one room. And already in the hallway on the way to the room, he kind of starts seeing shadows kind of in the middle back of him and like keeps turning to look at him. And there's this weird electrical surge that keeps flickering the lights on and off just in that hallway, not in any of the other directions he can see. And doesn't think that's super cool, but, you know, he goes in the room. They get settled. It's a very simple room, just like a TV, a bed, a small desk with a small lamp, basic shit. And the TV all of a sudden just turns on static.
No.
Yep. Not I don't. About
full
want.
On was poltergeist. Samara
never happening in my life. No. I don't have a TV right now, actually. So that happens. And then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, it goes on for multiple minutes, which when you're telling a story, saying 2 minutes sounds like nothing. But think about that. That's yeah. kind of a lot.
Yeah, think about like it. One Mississippi, fear, two like, Mississippi, yeah.
and you're like
three
what?
Mississippi.
Like that's seconds. Think about minutes of that. So no, many exactly. Mississippi is in yeah. that
crazy.
Amount of time.
120 of them.
120 of them.
Yeah,
good. That's math. A lot.
Thank you.
They don't know where the remote is either, if there is one.
They don't.
Remote they don't know if there is one exist. Or where it okay. would be. And then vanished. After 2 minutes, turns off. Great. Then
perfect.
They start hearing loud arguing of multiple voices, like a group of voices in their bathroom. Not a shared bathroom, not in the hallway, their personal hotel bathroom. And they're like, oh.
No, 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 no.
Finally, Alan goes, opens the door. No one in there. Of course.
Of course
of not. Of course there is not. And then a few minutes after that, they hear three distinct knocks on the door of the hotel room. And so Alan opens the door, goes out into the hallway, which it's pretty late by then, so no one's out. It's dark in the hallway. It's just darkness. But he sees at the end of the hallway, which is pretty long, but you can still tell there's a fucking figure of a dude at the end of the hallway, like still moving forward in a long black cloak. And he's still like distinctly moving, but not trying to be discreet, like not trying to be a shadowy person. And hiding it all. He's yeah. there and this
not,
is
like,
his fucking space.
Ditching.
Yeah. 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 Just like and he
and just
is just frozen.
The whole way down the hallway. Which was weird for the ghost.
Tooting all the way.
Floofing the cloak up and down, billowing majestically in the hallway. so he's kind of frozen in fear, staring at him. And the guy kind of looks behind him, doesn't turn around, but like kind of looks back at him, notices him, and they're just noticing each other, and he's frozen in that space. And all of a sudden his son calls from inside the room like, hey dad, what the fuck you doing out in the hallway?
Yeah, what's out there?
He turns, not turns his body, but like turns his head for 1 second and then looks back, guy's gone.
No.
Straight up disappeared. Neither of them sleep that night. They just decide to stay up and not sleep because that was a lot of things that happened.
That's a lot of things that happened in the span of like 15 minutes.
Your mind is going to be running rampant.
And you just got to Russia. You're probably jet lagged.
Right.
None of this
also,
is working
Also, it's Russia.
Out. Also, it's Russia yeah. in 1988.
You're in Russia. You're having a rough
time.
Oh, my God.
So awesome.
So nice.
Yeah. And you're on growing pains. Time. Like,
and you're
what is going
pain.
On?
It's not like you're in Predator. Like,
no, you're not prepared. You're
pains.
A TV
you're not
dad
for this.
With nice creased Docker pants. Like, this is your life right now. So next morning, they go down. They have some time to just look around the lobby again, I guess, or hang out, whatever. What else are you going to do? So he's kind of walking around enjoying the space and notices another kind of room section they hadn't noticed before, which has a display case with some items in it. Like, oh, interesting. I'll go check out some history or whatever. And he sees quite a few items, including the same cloak he
what?
Saw on the man in the hallway
no.
the night before.
No, 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 no,
same exact
no,
cloak.
No,
so
no,
distinct,
no, no.
Right? What? I would have just pissed myself. I don't care what? If I'm about to go do a peace mission to, like, help bridge the gap. Nope.
What
sees
is?
Sees the cloak.
What?
Excuse
the-
me?
It gets worse.
Oh.
After looking at the items and like the descriptions, it had belonged to motherfucking Rasputin the Mad Monk.
No way.
No, it didn't.
You
no,
are Ra Rasputin. Ra Ra Rasputin. Ra Ra Rasputin. Hey, hey,
what?
Hey. Ra Ra Rasputin.
What?
Lover of the Roman Wait, no, that's lyrics, but that's but so still, wonderful. That's
what?
Anastasia? I'm sorry, what?
No, right? That's what I think.
But yeah, so that.
Oh my gosh.
Fucking happened. That fucking happened. And he straight up Sour Spoon. And he found out after seeing that, that even though we mostly know him being in St. Petersburg, I guess he had conducted all of his like nefarious business in that hotel in Russia or in Moscow. Like during the time he was alive, like that's where he had all his meetings, and he would carry out the business like murdering people in that hotel. Like that was the spot. So the fact that they're holding his cloak, that cloak that you see him in, like that's the one. It's all there. So like not only are the ghosts of the people he had murdered and all that shit there, but like his ghost is clearly hanging around. So that fucking happened.
Alan Thicke. You had the best experience. Well, also the most terrifying.
Also
but
the most terrifying.
What?
Are you fucking kidding me with that?
That's terrifying.
Not his penis, though. His penis is at a different museum.
There's a rumor in St. Petersburg. Isn't that the song?
Oh, my God, it is.
Sorry, I had to sing it because it was running through my head during most of that story.
You should have just started singing it during the story. I'm actually disappointed. Can we, like, put that in later, actually?
Yeah, I'll actually, if you sing it very quietly in the mic, I'll just loop it around.
Yeah, don't go find the song. Like, have her just whisper.
There's a rumor in St. Petersburg.
Perfect.
Good.
That's exactly what we wanted.
Keep it on a loop. It really goes so, the
that's insane.
That's insane.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah. That's the spookiest one. The other ones are very uplifting, but like that chilled me. That chilled me.
Yeah, that's...
I can't even believe it.
If I'm going to come face to face with a ghost, guess who I don't want to come face to face with? Fucking Rasputin.
There's not a roll of the tongue in there, but I wanted to do it because what?
Maybe there was. We weren't there.
We weren't there.
Will you tell the Anna Nicole Smith story?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even a story. I
know
have
it's not
quote.
A story, but we need the
so
quote.
So if you want to be beat for your horrible impression of somebody, which yes, I love, this will be even worse because I did not ever once try saying this out loud since I copy and pasted this into my Word doc and my allergies are bad today. So let's see.
Let's see what happens.
So everyone talks about like, oh my God, Kesha had sex with like ghosts. No.
I know.
No. I want to believe everything's true. Because I like all the weird shit in the world, but no. Anna Nicole Smith is the one that had sex with a ghost, and probably Kesha's
and
fucking
she's
stole
proud
that
of
her.
It.
And
Kesha
she's
stole
proud
the
of
idea.
It.
She did it.
Anna Nicole Smith had a great time. She told FHM Mag, which had a great cover of her beautiful, beautiful face and boobies and all of that fun stuff. This is her direct quote and me attempting to say it.
So funny.
So bad. Well...
It's already good.
It's already the best.
Oh God, I can't even say that
Lauren's
word again.
Laying on her back.
I am, but I still have my microphone.
She's
at
in
the
corpse
ready.
Pose. She's in earlier.
Yeah, I even have my arm.
She's in final
my chest.
Shavasana.
Oh my God,
I'm becoming a mummy on the floor.
Please do.
Okay, go on. Continue.
Brendan Fraser will come to you in the night. Well. A ghost would crawl up my leg and have sex with me at an apartment a long time ago in Texas. I used to, like, think it was my boyfriend, and one day I woke up, and it wasn't. It's like a spirit, like, whoo, flying up, flying up from my bed sheets. Like, it went up. I was freaked out about it, and I was like, well, you know what? He's never hurt me. He just gave me some amazing sex, so I have no problem. It was not a dream because it was happening every night. One night, I had woken up because I felt it coming up my leg and I saw it. Mm-hmm. I told my boyfriend he didn't believe me, of course. Men.
No.
Oh, my
no.
God.
Men?
What?
That was
what else did she
great.
Say?
That's it. That's it? All that exists for that. That's all you get. That's it.
First
holy
of all,
shit.
That Anna Nicole Smith impression was
seriously
so
done. Was it? Oh, why? Sure.
No, it actually was. Like,
Claire, it was
if
amazing.
I closed my eyes,
you felt
she was here.
I felt like she was here with us.
I think she was.
Maybe
here.
She was.
Maybe
was
she
say,
possessed
wait, she could
you.
Be.
I hope so.
She
I did
die.
Feel my chest.
I know. I was like,
go
wait,
from
she
like
die.
A lie of a B cup to what F cup?
Like
your boobs grew
and
into
almost
Anna Nicole Smith size.
10 times the size that day.
Yeah, what did she have? Like F's, G's?
It has like to be beyond the spectrum.
Yeah.
Did she push it? Like we finally recognized that large of booby cups because of her?
I feel like she was the first. Well, maybe. It was either her or what's her toes? Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dolly.
Oh, Dolly.
So, what?
I know.
Holy
and that buckets. Wasn't... Oh, I feel like I knew which area of Texas that was when I started trying to look up more. Couldn't find more quotes or anything, but I feel like I had found what area of Texas. Now I can't remember, so sorry, Texas friends. Just imagine it's in your hometown.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why not?
It's in all of your hometowns. Oh, Anna.
Anna. I believe it.
You little precious peach.
You special woman.
Yeah, but that's what's crazy is there are so many stories of people saying they had sex with ghosts on the internet.
Yes.
Like some of them could be absolute bullshit, but there's enough that I'm like, this had to have happened to a few folks.
It has to.
Yeah.
And there's a whole ancient thing of incubus, succubus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
This true, is something true, that true. Has existed in many cultures throughout many ages. So why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
My gosh, it's so bombshell. Weird. It's just so crazy.
Why don't they want to have sex with me is my question.
I know. I'd like to experience it because I feel like most people who talk about it are like, it was great. I'm like, okay, well, where yet?
Thanks for
where
sharing.
Yet?
Where yet? I was single for so many years.
I know, right?
In LA and where yet?
I know.
I'm unavailable now.
A little disappointed.
Sorry, ghosts.
Sorry, I'm taken. Ghosts.
Take my real flesh and blood.
Yeah, ghosts. Here's the thing: ghosts do take no for an answer.
Yeah, unlike human men, right?
Can I get an uplifting Carrie Fisher?
Yes. I wish there was all time in the world of so many.
Here, do you know what's interesting? Everyone that we've talked about so far has passed.
Oh, that's true.
Alan.
Oh.
Anna.
Whoa.
Carrie
Whoa.
Fisher now.
Actually, I'm having a weird moment because that's weird.
Yeah.
I'm having a weird moment.
We've hit
that's
the weird.
Weird.
We found the weird of the episode.
We found
it's
the
now
weird part of
guys,
the episode.
This is why we named
right,
the podcast
weird,
Keep It Weird.
Right
Alan Thicke,
now.
Anna Nicole Smith, and Carrie Fisher
and now
all
Carrie Fisher.
Have ghost stories and are dead.
Yeah.
But Carrie Fisher
isn't that
did
crazy?
Not have sex with a ghost. I'll say that.
She didn't.
You know what?
But neither did Alan Thicke.
I'm pretty sure no one who's,
well.
No one who's died before has had a ghost story.
That's never happened in the history of ever. So we have the weirdest podcast.
We know everything. So
it is just crazy
that
the last three in a row because they're like they're more recent. Well, I can't with my long Midwest A's on this podcast. The Midwest in me is taking over to that.
I'm from California and I still do that. Even before I came in this room, I do that for no reason. So
you have a Midwest heart as a California girl.
I guess.
Alan Thicke and Carrie Fisher were last year. So that's weird. And Anna Nicole Smith, was a while ago now, but like still in recent times for us.
Yeah,
like,
still it's still interesting.
Yeah. I still remember that.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Was spatial a fax? Was that a Midwest dialect?
I think that's our own brain.
No,
that
I mean, that was just a complete, like, idiot accident. Okay. But it just reminded me of, like, the Midwest hell that I hear when I go
Wonderful.
Back
home. Okay, we have to move on. Carrie Fisher, I want to hear her uplifting story.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's so sweet. You'd think, I mean, a lot of people when I kind of put something on the internet, like, hey, if you have anything, all my LA friends, if you have anything you want me to touch on, send me stuff. I'm willing to take your consideration into coming in this podcast. And everyone kept saying Carrie Fisher with her house, with her beautiful boho mansion, which, you know, had been built by Robert Armstrong, who was King Kong's original captor in the original movie. He then sold it to Betty Davis, who then sold it to Edith Head. I'm going to pretend I know. she was an Academy Award winning costume designer, though, so that's cool.
Oh,
you think it would be that? Nope. She has said many times in many sources, never felt any presence, wasn't closed off to it, just never did.
Okay.
But she's had a crazy life, as I'm sure you know, and I hope everyone listening knows. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Crazy life.
A lot of cocaine.
But, like, this story, oh, my God, it's really, it's tragic, but it's also so heartwarming. She had a friend named Greg Stevens. This is in 2005. Yeah, 2005. So he was thinking of settling in LA. He's a good friend of hers. And he's kind of a bit of a conflicting person. He was Republican, but he was super gay and also was kind of a drug addict. So a lot of things that didn't quite line up, like his family had kind of kicked him on out of there. Was kind of on the outs with them. And Carrie isn't somebody that would normally be thinking of Republicans as fun, as she said.
Mm-hmm.
But
or
they
friends.
Got along, yeah, or friends. But she got along with them really well and had a lot of fun with them. They're very close. So he's thinking of settling in LA and came to stay with her during the Academy Awards that year, mostly for the parties. Which, who wouldn't? I would definitely jump
on.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
What year was this that he stayed with her?
2005. Okay. So it's not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
I know.
Although, goddamn, now thinking that is
actually,
a while ago.
Just kidding. It's 2018.
Excuse me. 1999 was 10 years ago, right, guys? Right, guys? I don't know. So they went to the awards, did all that. She came home early and went to bed. He came home later and stayed in her bed because his assistant was also there and she took the guest room. Carrie didn't know her, so she'd rather sleep with her friends than random girl. So he came, went to bed. She wakes up first in the morning. She kind of leans over and like tries to wake him up, like, oh, hey, did you have fun? Boop, boop, boop. Doesn't wake up, doesn't respond.
No.
She starts feeling weird, gets up, runs around the other side of the bed, is like pounding on him, screaming at him to wake up, does not respond. Clearly, he is dead. So she calls 911. It's just she kind of feels like she blinked out for a little bit and just is in shock.
Probably in shock.
Yeah, yeah, that's so fucked up, especially when you first wake up. Later, they find he did die of heart failure. He's only 42.
Ugh.
And if you look at pictures of him, such a young man. He doesn't even look 40. I mean, what a sweet young chap.
Well,
and she kind of blamed herself, even though clearly she had nothing to do with it, but it was on her watch. It was in her bed. Like, why didn't I stay up and stay with him and make sure we did the same things at the same time? But
yeah,
I mean, what are you going to do?
I know.
Really?
Right.
And so
it's not your child.
It's not your child. He's an adult man. He's your friend. But like, he wanted to party and like be kind of on his drug addict type, where she at that time was not.
Yeah.
You know, like she's not trying to do that life. So I'm sure she got over that. She seems, by the time I'm seeing her tell the story, she seems more at peace with things because of the following. She started feeling a strong presence in the house immediately. Also, didn't change it. Like, didn't change the bed. Didn't get rid of the bed. I would have just been like, chuck the bed, chuck the stuff.
Light it on fire.
Like, don't sleep in that bed, even though he's your friend. What? So she keeps everything and lives her life, tries to continue. She feels a strong presence. Like, she described it heavy in the air, like a liquid, like she was constantly surrounded by an aura, which I thought was kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't really see us as negative, just overwhelming, if anything. And it was to the point where she would come home every day and greet him in a playful way, like I do with the very boring ghost in my house. Just, hello, hi.
Yeah. I know you're here.
I know you're here. Hi. Just going to greet you, even if you're not here, just doing it for me. Mostly, but also because I can feel you. And she started hearing noises. Like, she would have, she even had like a skeptical boyfriend over at one point who they ended up hearing like things moving in the kitchen that there's no way. And even he left like, damn, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
And one night, like, this is kind of the pinnacle of it. She's writing in the same bed in the same room where it all happened.
That's crazy.
She could hear an odd noise from the other bedroom where he had kept a lot of his clothes while he was staying there. A lot of his possessions were still there. She just didn't change anything. And she realized it was the sound coming out of a gag toy that she and George Lucas each had when they were writing together on Young Indy. If you remember
Yeah,
I just got my dude some like playing cards, some like trading cards from that show. It had a cool 3D one. It comes with 3D glasses and you put it on and it's Young Indy like running. So they both had this toy that if you remember like Yak Back, where you record something, it says
something. Oh, yes.
It's kind of like that, but it has these pre-recorded phrases that would circulate. So it had all these delightfully crass phrases that it would circulate through. But she kept hearing it go off on the same phrase, which was, "You fucking talking to me? You fucking talking to me?" Over and over and over and over.
What?
Like, it would wait a minute. Like, just when you finally get used to being quiet, it would do it again.
Wow.
And she started getting kind of freaked out and annoyed. Because,
yeah, like,
no.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So she started feeling scared, but she finally gets up and goes to confront it. And she picks it up and it does it again right in her hand. "You fucking talking to me?" And she just screams, "Greg, stop it." And I guess it kind of stopped. Like, it didn't do it again that night. Certainly not. And she goes and kind of cries to her agent, is having a heartfelt conversation, who directs her to a psychic, which is a friend of hers. It's not like some random psychic that you see in NoHo.
Right.
You
right.
know, that one the that always has reader. The weird mannequin out front when it's raining and it's so sad.
I hate it.
I want to go just to appease that poor mannequin. But the psychic says that he, you know, he kind of got taken out abruptly and couldn't really accept his death and leaving all this behind when he was just thinking of settling here and really starting his life, like, out. He's finally out as a gay man.
Right.
And, like, in the inns in Hollywood and, like, finally getting what he wants out of life.
Finally,
like,
maybe not being a Republican anymore.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Well, I want to know what would have happened with that. God damn it. And so he was literally trying to live through Carrie. Mm. Like, physically, emotionally, all of it. And so the devastation
is kind of shared.
Which
is why she felt the aura completely surrounding her all the time.
Constant presence of him being there.
Ugh. I can't even, living in that really the same bit, I just can't get over that part. She, even at the end, like, she's crying through the story because even though this was recorded recently, imagine that happening to you. Like, this clearly still affected her.
But don't ever get over that.
No. And even though she's upset, she's like, you know, I never see this as negative and I don't want you to think me, like, crying as this being a negative impact on my life. Like, it was such a special moment and... You know, he really, like, she felt honored that he wanted to stick with her until he was ready to move on. Yeah. And it kind of ended not on a cliff note, but just she didn't say, like, it's not happening anymore. It just seemed like it had all come together and made peace.
Yeah.
And now she's gone and we have to make peace with that. Mm-hmm. But incredible.
Well, I think stuff like that is also very comforting to someone who maybe fears death in some way.
Yes.
So when you experience something like that, even though it's super scary, it's also a little bit comforting to know, like, once my heart stops beating and they take my body away and I get buried or cremated, like, it's not the last thing I'll ever do.
Sure. Yeah. And it seems like he had some fun. He was clearly pranking her. Right.
Yeah, he was clearly playing with the
like
toy.
Like a goofball, wow. Which I like to hear.
But fuck that, though, too.
I know.
But also fuck so all of that.
Yeah.
What if so it was like his voice annoyed. Coming through
I know,
it, too?
Can you imagine?
Are you serious?
Like, Greg!
Greg, stop it!
Have you guys seen the Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher documentary, the two of them?
No.
Bright Lights?
I've heard parts about it. I've not seen it yet.
It's phenomenal. It's so good. I highly recommend it. Just the whole time you were talking, like, and telling her story, I just kept imagining, like, other stories that she tells during that documentary. I'm like, she is a fascinating woman. Like, she's
read
so incredible.
I want to see that so bad. Is it on a platform I can watch?
No, I'm trying to remember. I want to say it's on HBO.
I need someone's login. I'll trade you my Hulu. I'll trade you my
it's somewhere that you can watch it. And I think it would even be worth, like, renting for $2.99 if that's your option. Because it's fascinating to hear the history of Debbie and Carrie and how, like, you understand why Carrie didn't like her for a number of years because she was such an overbearing mom. But then the way they came back together in their later years and, like,
and Carrie's
lived
daughter.
On the same property. Like, yeah, and Carrie's daughter was there. But they lived, like, a tiny little 5-minute walk away from each other and we're just so in love, and, like, Debbie even dying so close after her, it's like she truly was brokenhearted because they were just two peas in a pod. It's a very good documentary.
Didn't they also, like, collect, I mean, I know Carrie certainly did, but I think together they would find, like, little bits of Hollywood together and buy those items, and they eventually wanted to, like, display it as a museum.
They did,
but it never worked out. But they still had, like, in her little boho mansion, you can see pictures inside of it. They had all these interesting, like, props and artifacts from Hollywood.
Yeah,
and
they both did. Like, their houses were so cool because of the stuff they had collected. They were the coolest.
Will we be that cool?
I hope.
Guys.
I pray. I just love it.
It would be nice to be rich enough to be that cool.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It takes a for lot sure. more, like, commas in your paychecks than I
have. Yes.
I have
Hell
to be
yes.
that cool.
I need that Star Wars money to do some
I need
cool
that
stuff.
Star Wars money. yeah. Last but not least, there's a couple cool haunted places in LA. We each have one.
Yeah.
Yours is in Culver.
In Culver. Bringing it back to
Yay!
Culver.
So, hear that, Mom? Lots of Culver.
Lots
I know
Culver.
She's
back
listening
to Culver.
Immediately.
Also, I saw when I was pulling up, I keep finding fun things, pulling up my little links. I feel like I keep coming back with tidbits. Batman with what's his face?
Who
was the first one?
Christopher.
Michael... I'm getting Christopher Reeves. Yeah, I was like George Reeves.
Superman? Wait,
what?
The first Superman.
You said Batman.
Sorry,
Batman.
I meant Superman. It's like, the drink.
Adam Whiskey West? Punch.
Who was the first one? Now I'm getting crossed on my Reeves.
It's Reeves or Reeve? Reeves?
First of all,
it's
Reeve.
I found out it did some filming at Culver Studios.
So what? Connections all around.
George Reeve.
It's got to be, right?
Reeves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Reeves.
There we go.
I need to sleep.
Me three.
V tired.
So anyway, I thought that V tired. I thought that was an interesting connection with all the Culver talk that we had.
Yeah.
And also there's been lots of yachts talked about this evening.
We have
talked
about
yachts.
I've never been on one.
Culver Studios and yachts, y'all.
No, when you were talking about that earlier about the guy getting killed on the yacht, I was
like,
wait a second. I know. I thought of you. I thought it was interesting. Okay. So there is a movie called The Entity, which is pretty good and pretty creepy. It's not like the best movie ever, but it's all right. And there is an actual house that this movie is based on, which is in Culver City, not too far away from my apartment, which is scary and cool at the same time. So it's this So it's this cute little yellow house. It looks so cheery on the outside. You would never guess that anything is going on there. But in 1974, paranormal researchers Carrie Gaynor and Barry Taff were getting a lecture at a local bookstore when they were approached by a woman about 30 years old named Doris Bither. I don't know if it's Bither or Bither.
Let's say Bither.
Bither sounds better. Bither better.
Bither better. Lived- butter. Butter.
Bitter better. Butter.
Bitter. Bitter better. Butter.
She was living in a small house nearby with her family. Bither overheard the men talking about paranormal activity, and she claimed that her home was haunted. In a subsequent interview with investigators, she told them that she had numerous spirits in her home, and they were beings known for producing banging on walls, strange voices, weird lights flashing on and off, and the most frightening, she had been beaten and raped by these forces. Yep, bringing
Not
it to
like
the
Anna
real
Nicole
estate.
Smith.
Not like Anna Nicole. It was not pleasant. No, it was
not
hurt.
She did not enjoy it.
So Taff and Gaynor, these paranormal researchers, initially disbelieved this woman, like thought she was crazy. They're like, okay, Doris, like it's all right.
All right,
also,
Doris.
And they said that some of the things she was saying sounded like sleep paralysis. And they were like, hey, sometimes people go through this. I think this might be what you're doing. However, the two of them changed their minds when they were witnesses to the events that came forward, several of which were family members who came to them and said, we have seen Doris being tossed around through the air like a rag doll.
What? Jesus.
In one instance, Doris's son attempted to intervene when he heard screaming and he was thrown across the room, breaking his arm on their wall.
Coffee pot?
Coffee maker. That.
Not during this story of all stories, Jesus Christ. Jesus.
Why now?
I know. Why did that coffee pot have to do that during the story? So her son was thrown across the room, breaking his arm. While Taff and Gaynor performed their first investigation of the home, they noticed that the house lights flickered occasionally, but they didn't think anything of it. They were just sort of like, all right, they're flickering lights, but seemed a little bizarre. And then during their first interview with Doris's teenage son in the kitchen, the cabinets flung open and pots and pans fell violently without anyone touching them. Everyone immediately became suddenly aware of the presence in the room and they started to take pictures, and every camera that was taken on their Polaroid didn't develop properly, came out really fuzzy or completely white. Doris was immediately removed
white,
from the house.
Because there was a ghost butt in front of
it.
It was a big old ghost butt.
Doris was immediately removed from her home, and to the astonishment of the investigators, the bizarre phenomena disappeared, and pictures taken with that same camera functioned normally when Doris was gone. So that's interesting.
Oh, so it was her fault.
Yeah, it's
so
all Doris.
Maybe it wasn't
bitch,
the house. It was her.
The investigation lasted 10 weeks, during which Doris described horrific encounters with numerous beings, one being a kind of huge humanoid, which she would refer to as the Entity, which comes the name of the Hollywood movie.
Oh my God.
She would constantly call it the Entity to her family and to everyone. She also said she saw two smaller beings that accompanied it and helped hold her down during attacks for the bigger one.
Whoa.
In the most famous report from this whole story, more than 30 researchers were present as Doris attempted to summon spirits into her bedroom. They all came into the house to like do this big witness
investigation.
Doris began to curse and yell at the spirits, and to the surprise of many, strange lights began to appear around the room and a greenish fog began to form in a corner of the house, swirling and growing. Within seconds, the shape of a man's upper torso began to manifest
what
through the fog
fuck?
Many witnesses claim it was very clearly a male entity. It was big and muscular, but it had no face. One researcher fainted after seeing this phenomenon, and several others had to look away. Recording cameras failed, only managing to grab very blurry images, and one of the only like clear photos that came, it just looks like there's a big like white arc of light floating in the middle of the room. So nothing was even recorded because apparently cameras never worked during these things. At the end of the investigation, the researchers recommended that Doris move out immediately. So yeah. Doris and her family took the advice and moved to Texas, but still maintained contact with the researchers to see if they found anything else. But as soon as Doris left, the attacks completely disappeared and nothing else happened in the home. But Doris continued to be attacked in Texas. So it did turn out to be Doris was being followed by something. But nothing was ever as bad as it was in that Culver home. And her children have come forward actually very recently to talk about it even more, saying absolutely everything our mom said was true. She never once lied. She even told us back in the day that she once thought she was pregnant with the entity's child, but may have had a miscarriage. And that little yellow house without any renovations is still sitting in Culver City
today.
No
fucking way. Who was in the movie The Entity? Why don't I know it?
I'm trying to think. It's not like a super popular movie at all.
It was like something big. Like
no, a, I mean, know. I've seen it because I feel like it's on Netflix.
Like, when was it that I even saw that?
I think it was on Netflix during Halloween. It's not great. I mean, it's a very creepy premise. Like, especially when you hear that it's on a true story, it's very good. But it's just like, it's what we've talked about. There's so many possession and demon movies that it kind of, I feel like, fell into like, it's just another one.
Yeah.
But in like in the sense that this really happened to a woman, it's very cool.
They really should have leaned into more of the like faceless buff dude ghost, like Slenderman's cousin Shane or something. Like what?
Slenderman's cousin Shane.
They could have definitely capitalized on this shit. What the fuck? Got her pregnant and abandoned her. Classic bro move. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Trailer trash dick leaving that woman.
And I do love.
What year was this?
That after all of it, the researchers were like, after studying this case, we recommend that you get the fuck out of Culver City. Like, just go away. Like, that's the only thing I can recommend to you right now. Burn it down. Sell all your shit.
That's the official opinion. Like,
yeah. Peel your skin off.
You should move.
Get the fuck out of here.
In the center. Yeah, go away. And get on out of there.
Crazy town.
You need to tell me the cross streets of that. I need to go.
I know. I can tell. Yeah, if you could like look that up for us, please. I don't know what the nearest intersection is, but I can tell you. I mean, this is very public information.
Definitely.
It's 11547 Braddock Drive.
Mom, does that sound familiar? My mom grew up in Culver City and had a poltergeist named Charlie.
What area? So maybe it was near there. Around.
I need to find out what street she was at that point, but her childhood home, they all just recognize it as normal. Oh, there's Charlie throwing stuff around again.
Whoa.
So I'll have to ask her and get back to you.
Culver City's what got if, some ghosts.
What
got
if,
some shit.
What
some
if Culver City is like Poltergeist Central?
I kind of think it is.
Poltergeist
story.
It's Culver City.
Like, literally before this episode, I was looking up Culver Studios because I knew there were like a couple stories here and there. But even just Googling like Culver ghost story, a million stories popped up.
Yeah,
all these
really?
People like, all these streets in Culver City are supposedly haunted because it's been around with studios for so long. It used to be like such a hub for movie making, and it still does a lot, but it's a lot
and
more.
And it wasn't
like
a nice area for so long.
Yeah.
It was really
and then it was
not
absolute trash. And now it's,
But let's just hail Tito's Tacos for a moment. Just, you know,
Moment of silence for Tito's Tacos. And
it's
also
a nice place now.
The whole like Indian burial ground that's underneath Culver City.
Yes. Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Don't say things like that to me because I have to go home and sleep there this evening.
Nope.
And
you should feel bad about your
Culver Hotel
forever.
Have a 5-minute walk to get to my apartment, so I'm for sure getting haunted by them.
Do you hear chanting?
Okay, so this one is personal to me because I didn't find out it was haunted until years later after I had experiences there myself. The Pantages Theater in Hollywood, which is essentially the theater to see Broadway touring shows in Los Angeles, was originally a movie theater. And this was back when going to the movies was like a black tie event where you like got dressed up to go
this
to the picture.
This is your thing you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also hosted the Oscar ceremony for 2 years in the 50s. So
I heard that.
Fancy place.
Wow.
Anyway, it was owned by Howard Hughes when he ran RKO RKO Studios. RKO Studios made King Kong, which is what I was like.
It's all connecting, guys.
We're so good at connecting.
Wow. We planned this really well.
And his plush offices still remain on the second floor of the building. They've been turned into conference rooms, but whatever. This was actually the building that Howard Hughes went batshit crazy in. He locked himself away for years and years as he became more and more paranoid and crazy town. If you guys know anything about Howard Hughes, I won't go into it, but he lost his damn mind. So Hughes has been seen there many times in the offices, and his footsteps are heard throughout the building. Assistants, I don't know about this one, but assistants in the outer office know he's approaching when the room fills with the smell of cigarette smoke, which apparently Hughes hated. So I don't know why they think that that's him.
Right.
Weird.
Walking in when they smell the cigarette smoke.
Like someone's cologne or like something recognizable. Like,
yeah, but, you know, there's a distinct...
Maybe that's his personal hell.
Yeah, oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Oh, God, he's just trapped in cigarette smoke hell.
Oh, no.
How are you?
But it's a distinct wafting of cigarette smoke moving through the building. So whether it's Howard Hughes or someone else, it's something. He's also been seen striding around a corner and walking through a wall, which they've discovered used to be the original doorway to his office.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Oh. Yes,
it's so not much of there us walking anymore. Through walls is because the layout has changed.
Yeah, the layout has changed.
That's why the original dimension was walking through walls because of the renovations. And he was like, I hate these fucking renovations you did on Culver Studios.
I refuse to recognize this reality.
I'm going
to
walk through this wall.
Bye-bye.
That's why some people think that like renovations usually up activity because the ghosts are either upset that things are changing or they're confused.
Right.
And they don't know why these things are happening. A former executive assistant whose name is Carla Rubin felt his presence primarily in the conference room, which used to be, like I said, used to be... I probably shouldn't talk with my microphone.
I'm enjoying it.
Which used to be... his personal office. She says, there's something about the temperature of the room, a coldness. I would feel a wind go past me when there was no air on. She would also hear a lot of bumping and banging and the clicking of brass handles on desk drawers as if someone was frantically rummaging through a desk. She'd run in only to find the room empty and very cold. After vandals broke in and damaged the upper balcony, the ghostly activity increased and was witnessed by many members of the staff. She said it seemed like someone was very mad or upset. A female presence has also settled into the Pantages. This is crazy. Back in 1932, a female patron died in the mezzanine during a show, which is horrifying. I couldn't find any information on how she died, but I did see that on several websites.
I'm so curious.
I don't know if it was like
poisoning from her makeup. Is it that a
heart attack? She got died. I don't know if she got died.
She dong 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 died.
She got dang died.
Dang dang dong died.
Hello. So that's already horrifying. But when the auditorium is dark and quiet, the voice of a woman can be heard singing. Sometimes in the day. But mostly late at night after everyone has gone home.
Is it good?
Now, this is crazy. Her voice has even been picked up on microphones on stage and carried over the monitor during live performances.
No.
Yes.
What
the
fuck? That's crazy.
Engineers have actually picked up the voice of someone who is not visible on stage.
That is nuts.
But is she talented or is
yeah,
the
apparently,
voice?
Jesus yeah, Christ, apparently.
What is happening?
Did we want to hear that?
I've heard that she, you know, the lore is that she was a young actress who was in Hollywood to try and make it in film and she wanted to do musicals. And she would go to the theater to see musicals.
So she kind of oddly got
what
she wanted all along.
Yeah, and now she's singing
at
the Pantages.
She's amazing. Finally getting to sing.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Good for her. Aww. Happy for her.
You look your best life.
One story that is super fascinating happened in 2010, which is around the time I made my first visit, which I will talk about really quickly. But a wardrobe lady was the last to leave the darkened theater. As she walked towards a side exit in the auditorium, the emergency lights along the aisles went out. In complete darkness, she stumbled and bumped into something. Completely disoriented, she couldn't find her way out of the theater, which sounds like my worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. In the dark, someone took her elbow and helped her up. and with a firm hand guided her towards the door. She opened it, letting in some light, and the woman turned around to thank her rescuer, but no one was in there with her.
Whoa. I mean, thanks, but...
I mean, thank you, but fuck.
Thank you, but what the fuck?
Please don't touch me.
No, thank you.
Who you is?
So now...
That is the proper response. Thank you.
Who you is? I done died.
I done died. Who you is?
When I visited the Pantages, yeah. I've been there 3 times in my life. Once I was there for... If I remember correctly, it was like a holiday party. Because at the time I was dating Michael.
Yeah.
And he was an usher there. And I'm trying to get my timeline right. So I...
Of your own life.
Of my own life.
Story. Totally easy.
Two of the times, like, I get so mixed up. But I felt so uncomfortable. And I didn't know if it was because I didn't know anyone there. Mm-hmm. It was my first year in Hollywood. So I was, like, right out of college. I didn't have, like, a lot of confidence.
Even if you did when you get here.
It's a whole new world.
Everything's turned
upside down. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't know anyone there. No one was, like, particularly, like, nice to me. Like, no one was particularly welcoming. It's not like the Midwest where you walk in a room and everyone's asking a million questions about you and they're actually interested.
Well, you need to be able to, like, offer somebody something they want or need or else they turn your assistant. So
how can you help me in some way?
That's why, like, nothing really happened that night, but I was extraordinarily uncomfortable. And at the time, I just chalked it up to, like, I was in a room with a bunch of people I didn't know. No one was super nice to me. That's why. Then I ended up going to see a show there for free. I got to see Avenue Q.
Gosh,
I love
Michael,
Avenue Q.
My boyfriend at the time, got free tickets sometimes for working
as
there.
As he should.
We went to see Avenue Q, which, as you guys know, not a stressful show.
Mm-mm,
not
no.
a show it's that so should fun, make no. you.
The opposite.
I ended up having to leave at intermission because I couldn't breathe and I felt like someone was sitting on my chest. I felt like a ton of pressure on my chest. My palms were really sweaty and I couldn't stop I was wringing my hands.
Yeah.
And I started feeling really agitated. And like no one was really sitting around us. I wasn't overcrowded. It wasn't I have always suffered from anxiety. So at the time I just thought I was having some sort of anxiety attack. But I couldn't go back into the theater at intermission and we left. And I left at intermission, didn't see the rest of the show. Again, at the time, was like, well, that was weird. But I had an anxiety attack for some reason.
Yeah.
So then the last time I went there, I went to see Book of Mormon.
Oh, what?
I saw that there as well.
Bought the tickets. First of all, not cheap. At all.
Do I want to?
So I bought full price tickets, which it's not like it wasn't crazy, but it's still like $75 for these tickets.
Dang,
so
worth it, though.
It was so worth it. I had to leave at intermission again.
No!
For Book of fucking Mormon.
Ashley!
So
depressed.
Seriously, the thing is, it's like, this was one of the most fun nights of my life. I was with a group of friends. We went out to eat beforehand, laughing, having fun, wasn't drunk, like, wasn't under the influence. Go in, so happy to be there, so excited to see the show. Sit down, almost immediately, same thing. And I wasn't thinking about the last time because, again, it didn't strike me as like this was a paranormal experience.
It
struck me as I had this anxiety attack because of XYZ. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember, like, maybe Michael and I got in a fight that night. Maybe, right. I don't know. And immediately, I felt like someone was sitting on my chest. I felt angry, like immediately angry. I felt immediately like paranoid. My hands were sweaty. My whole body was sweaty the second time, actually. Like, my clothes were sticking to me. I felt awful. I ended up feeling really sick. At intermission, we went outside so a couple people could have a cigarette. And I went outside and got some fresh air. And I immediately felt so much better. And then when we went to go back inside, I started feeling nauseous because I just did not. My body was like, don't take me back in there.
Your body refuses know something to be that you don't realize you know.
So I went home. So that was the last time I went to
Because it's too good of a theater to not be in there.
I know.
We need to get
you. So, and also I forgot about this one. This was only the third time I was there. I smelled something
awful.
Like sulfur?
I don't know. No, I don't think it was like sulfur. It smelled
like... Were you smelling death?
No, I really... I remember saying to one of my friends, I asked them if they smelled it because I thought like it's an old theater. Yeah. I thought maybe like a mouse had died under one of the seats.
That's pretty distinct. It smelled like... I've unfortunately
like
smelled...
roadkill.
What that smells like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So weird. Anyways.
So I left at intermission. After that, I was like, okay, what the fuck? I didn't know anything about the theater. I researched it, found all this stuff out. And what struck me the most was Howard Hughes. Just the fact that he spent like the last years of his life there going, like slowly losing his mind.
Yeah.
And he turning on everyone around him and thinking that everyone was out to get him. And it's seriously how I would feel if I had to spend too much time in that place.
Right.
So the question for me is something going on there that was there before Howard Hughes that caused his spiral into insanity?
Right.
Or was I feeling whatever energy was left over there that belonged to Howard Hughes?
Sure.
When he was in that space.
Could be either.
But whatever it is, I can't sensitive. Go to the Pantages Theater. And I know
which
that
makes
now.
Me so shame. Sad because I love that this. Theater. I see so I many shows I'd there. Like, I know, and I don't want to make
awful.
You go. Like,
but
I don't want you to have a bad
that's
night.
Low
but.
Level, like no pressure event. You could go and like test it out.
Yeah, if someone wanted
know?
To buy
yeah,
me free tickets
see if it's still happening.
Again.
I know. If
hey,
I could just bring
know?
You as a date to a free show. I could Man. Never do that. I don't have any money, but that would be great.
Yeah, we're all poor here. Yes, yes.
So we're
That's
pushing.
Insane.
I know. This is. It was pretty crazy. And to know, like now know what went on there. It's kind of like.
And the same
okay.
feeling every time.
Yeah.
Especially when you're used to dealing with your anxiety. It all kind of seems to blend together, but that really stands out. Same
well,
place,
the thing
multiple
is, yeah, like,
times.
That's
had,
too weird
yeah,
to
I've
just say it's anxiety.
Anxiety attacks before that have oh, yeah. come out of nowhere, but mm-hmm. I can always trace back like the catalyst.
Yeah.
Whether it was the day before, mm-hmm. whether it was the hour before, I can Same. Always eventually go, oh,
yep.
it was that
totally.
Thing. And this, both times, I
it
cannot.
Made no sense.
No.
It was
the first
the
time, yes. The first time made sense because I, you know, like I said, it could have been
yeah.
a bunch of people I didn't know. They weren't super nice to me. They were all like Hollywood actor, wannabe actors
it's
working
really
as ushers.
Not fun
like,
dealing
no.
with that. There's
also
always
just not a fun party. Yeah.
And drinks, but no.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ugh.
Before we go, I do want to hear your personal story.
I was going to say, Jack,
oh,
I think
boy.
We had
oh, boy.
It's
like,
pretty
we can't
short.
End the podcast
It's pretty short.
That.
And the only notes I have are just because, like, if I want to throw in a little...
History.
I do not need any goddamn notes on my story. Yeah. And like, yes, this happened in eighth grade, so maybe some things are a little flushed out. Like maybe I'm forgetting some things. Whatever.
Did anyone hear the sound that came
yes,
out of
that?
She went. It was like a very high pitched squeak.
She's
during
the story.
Her
Look, she's like right next to me now. She wants to be involved in this story.
Tell
Come
me
on.
The story, Blair.
Yeah, like Jack
Gabby
London.
Woke up and
do you love Jack London? Over. Well, his wife, which is really what the story is about. Her nickname, Kitty. So,
hey, Gabby.
Oh, and then Gabby jumped up on the couch.
So
right as I said that. And her butthole's in my face.
Yeah. Sorry.
And it's great. No, I love it.
She
I love
loves
it.
That.
I live for the cat butt.
Explain who Jack London is.
Oh, boy. So, just little, just I'll just keep briefly, it as short as possible. Yeah. Jack London, you probably read in middle school. Like, this mm-hmm. this happened to me in eighth grade because of a, she's purring, because of a extra credit assignment. That I did, and I had been reading White Fang, but mm-hmm. other people were reading Call of the Wild. Also, his other
I
big one
White
is
Fang.
The Sea Wolf. Notice these are all wolf-based things.
Yeah, he's really into it.
He decided to, in very, very short, he decided to purchase some property in Sonoma Valley. I'm from Sonoma County. I'm from Santa Rosa. Hello, 707. What's up? And it's
618.
That's yes, okay. I see
Illinois.
What's going on here. He ended up purchasing all in all at the end of it 1400 acres.
Whoa.
In Glen Ellen, which is beautiful. I mean, my hometown area is all like redwoods. It's just
yeah.
glorious. And he built the Wolf House, which is the main and a hub on that property. You can go tour there now. And he also had Beauty Ranch, which is where most of the like smaller structures and land and like livestock were on. But his second wife, I can never remember how to pronounce her first name. It'll never come up again. But is it Charmian? It's not Charmaine.
Charmaine.
Not
it's
Charmaine.
Because
it's I A N. Is it Charmian? I should know this Charmaine. Since I studied this.
Charmian. Charmian.
Shermin.
Shermin. Doesn't matter because her nickname matter, was Kitty because her last oh, name God, was Kittredge. Also, Kitty. She is in fact dead.
Also,
she is indeed a dead
well,
person.
We'll call her Kitty.
Now. So fine. Kitty. Kitty That's forever. All you need to know. Kitty forever. Yes. I don't even remember touring the Wolf House. And when I was looking up pictures of this giant property, which a lot of it burned down, but the ruins are still there and there's still beautiful structures there. Don't remember any of this experience.
Must have been a good tour.
I guess it was. I guess they were real knowledgeable. And I guess the beauty of it really struck me to my soul, because the only thing I remember is coming out of the Wolf House and seeing these wooden, like, hand-done signs of, like, something, something, this way, Kitty's house, this way. And we'd been talking to some knowledgeable person, employee in the building, who told us, oh, you should go there. No one really goes out there. It's a bit of a walk. But if you're willing to do the walk into the woods, it's kind of nice to see these little ruins of her little personal house. So she was, in very short, she was kind of a badass. She was raised in Oakland.
Nice.
She went to Mills. She was, like, a musician, a singer, a feminist. She was brought up with vegetarianism, socialism, definitely taught about modern sexual activities. She also rode cross saddle when all other women were riding side saddle English style.
Kitty.
So she was kind of cool. But she also had bouts of depression, is what they called it when you look at writings. But it really seemed more based in, like, hallucination and paranoia, like maybe bordering towards schizophrenia, but they didn't really know what was going on at that time.
Okay.
Especially when she had a miscarriage at one point, like, she would just have these bouts. So she had her own couple different properties, but, like, house on the property that was just hers. And she would just want, when she's not promoting his writing, or even after he died, promoting his works and her own works, she would want to spend her time in this solitary place. It was her space out in the fucking middle of the woods. And it was not very big, but it was sort of Winchester Mansion-y in the fact that she would have, like, secret rooms or windows that were coming out of the ground with bars on them, and it's, like, halfway out. Why? Things like that.
Interesting.
Why on earth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real weird. So my dad and I walk out there, and we're just looking around. We notice that there's little hand-drawn blueprints of what it used to look like, kind of bordering it, and he's on one side or on the other. It's small enough to wear. If we're standing on the other side, you can still talk to each other at pretty normal volume. And I'm sure a lot of time has gone by, but the main point of it is I was looking around and happened to be leaning down in the ruins at one of those windows jutting halfway out of the ground, just kind of transfixed for a moment. And all of a sudden, thanks, Gabby. All of a sudden, I feel this whoosh of wind and this ringing in my ear so loud that makes me stand up straight. And I look at my dad, I just stand up too. And we both had this moment of, you know, maybe we should get out of here. Something doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel like we're welcome here.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like we should be here.
It's her space.
It's her space.
Right.
We didn't really know this at the time, though.
Sure.
We didn't know this at all for the most part. Yeah, let's head on out of here.
Yeah.
And it gets worse. We're walking out, just kind of normal pace, like, man, that was kind of strange, but glad we came. This is fun. A tree creaks. Normal. Happens. These trees are not very thick at this point. Totally could creak. Another one. Okay, and then another one. Okay, and then another one. And another one. Another, and all these trees around us are just, like, making noise. And at this point, we're pretty much running back through the woods. And we get to the car.
It was like Snow White.
Yes, yes, it was. It was like
I was
going to
say it's like the ritual.
It was crazy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We need to talk about that later. God. By the way.
We'll talk about this post-pod.
And I forget how long it was after we experienced that, but he had remembered that his first wife, Kate, who was a little older than him and also a real practicing witch at the time, which was, what, 70s? Gabby knew the answer. She had been the ones who had drawn those pictures. And what's really weird is if you're look, I don't know if they're still up because it's forever ago because I'm old. If you look at those drawings, they stop before they were completed. And it's because she would have to sit in the middle of the structure and kind of draw from perspective. And she had felt, at least this is what he told me back then, is that she had felt a presence as well. And she'd also had that wind experience I had had, and I think he had said that she had heard someone tell her to get out of there. And as soon as she had heard an actual voice tell her and feel give her that feeling,
tell her, like, you are not welcome. I don't want you here.
Get out of here. She never went back. And so at least at the time when you're walking around looking at all the drawings, these are beautiful. All of a sudden they just end half, like halfway through a drawing. That's why.
She got out.
It's so sad. It's beautiful that all this land had been dedicated to the state of California. It's great that we can tour there. Mm-hmm. What a piece of history. But so tragic that all she wanted was to be left alone for that space specifically.
Yeah.
Not the rest of the property, just that space. And yet there's probably more people going there now than had ever gone while she was alive.
Yeah. Right?
How upsetting.
If I was running the place, of course there would be like velvet ropes around it. Right. Like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, this was her special place.
Don't come near it.
In life and death, she does not like anyone coming near it.
Don't push your boundaries.
Do not push her. Like, she likes her space.
You can get a peek, but that's it.
You can look at the outside. You don't have to go inside. It's basically ruined.
Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Yeah, she does. She's not taking visitors.
No, she's actually not. She's
you're
not.
Actually too close right where you are. Please.
Actually,
if
you're cologne, breathing,
a little abrasive. No. Thank you so much. I have to ask you to leave.
You're talking too loud. We have to go.
Anyways, that's crazy.
Yeah, was that crazy?
That's nutty.
That was what, maybe 12,
it's always nice
13?
To have, someone to corroborate your story, too.
Yes.
When it doesn't
my dad,
just
my dad was there.
You.
The fact that you have your dad now to have that story with so that you're not just telling the story and having everyone be like, okay, Blaine.
Yeah, because, like, child. You know.
Right.
No. Yeah, they're, you know, especially, if, for example, just, like, talking about this, the Pantages experiences I had, you know, I always had someone with me who could say, like, yeah, she fucking freaked out. But, like, they didn't experience anything.
Yeah,
They didn't smell what I smelled. They didn't blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That's what's nice about the escape room because other people witnessed
it.
Well,
your friend has
Please
that
tell
video.
Me more about that later.
Yeah, and I have to figure
We're
that out. I have
that
to find out if he
find
has
video,
that video.
All
still,
of it.
Because it was fucking weird.
Jesus.
But, and also, you know, there were other times at the escape room where, like, multiple people would be working at the same time because occasionally you did have someone to work with. Mm. And, you know, you'd hear something fall in the other room when no one was in there. And it was like, thank God I'm not the only
I'm not nuts.
One who witnessed this. Like, I'm not going crazy.
And
something,
there's video in every room. That's great.
There's video. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you watch the video and, like, you can't see anything fall, but you can hear it. It
you,
echoes
like, it
throughout.
That's more disturbing.
Yeah. I
to
agree.
Not be able to see what it is.
You just hear the sound and have to wonder.
You have to wonder what it was.
Is it the ghost of an object that fell in days past?
Right?
Right?
Where
right?
does it end? Right? Where does it end?
Well, that's all the time we have. I don't have a voice anymore.
We all need to sleep and rest
our
voices.
I didn't burp once.
Hey,
I didn't burp once. I'm so burpy in my just daily life.
Oh, you know
I
what?
Cannot believe how well behaved I am.
Yeah, you did.
You didn't either.
You know
I'm
what?
Disappointed
I did.
In you.
You all don't have memories. Ashley burped once.
Did I?
You did
once. That's not enough for me.
It wasn't your usual belch every 5 seconds. That's for sure. But you definitely had one.
Hey,
I had a bar set coming
Watch
in
it.
Here, and you
LaCroix.
Did not need it.
You know what? It's a little bit easier. One, I wasn't drinking LaCroix.
Right. Oh, that's what I was saying. It's normally LaCroix burps.
Two. I also think it's easier with our new equipment because I can go like this.
That's true.
And come back and you can't even hear it. Anyways, that's all the time we have left for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Blair, for joining us today.
Thank you, Blair.
Yes. Best time
so
ever.
So wonderful.
It was
Best
so fun.
Time ever.
What a great
this
episode. I did not know we would get three plus hours out
I
of
had all these extra notes just in case I fucked up and made it boring. And we went on for 3 hours.
We went on.
It was wonderful.
So long.
I mean, we had quite a few tangents, but I think they were great.
Is there anything that you want to plug?
Oh, right.
Your Etsy page, obviously. www.etsy.com/skeletonblood.
It's slash shop.
Slash skeleton
slash
blood.
Skeleton
I put it in all caps. You don't have to, but I do that every time.
Feels better.
Really, it's
it
the new year,
better.
So I'm building up products right now. There's only a few things up there. But if you are a fan of Doughboys or real-life sci-fi, you might know the name Bugmane. There's some legit Bugmane products up there, as well as some of my own art. New stuff coming soon. Instagram. I don't have my own art Instagram yet because I'm very lazy.
I just got one,
you know?
Like, around the same time that I stopped making art. So you're fine.
Oh, great.
So your timing
so I'm
perfect.
Ahead of the game. Everything's
it
on
really
my personal
out.
Page right now, which is fun.
Yeah.
If you just want to see cats or memes that I make.
Yes, Blair is
always.
The meme queen.
Oh, my
the
God.
The gift queen.
I love memes.
It's insane.
Oh, my God. I hope you all enjoy it. The fact that you enjoy it makes me so goddamn happy. I'll keep doing it forever now.
The thing is that, like, they're so bonkers that I will see them and go, what? And then later think about it and just laugh and laugh and laugh. Mm-hmm.
That's the you only have to rash read them. It's wonderful. Hope so. Yeah.
I can't wait to follow you now.
Like, what? Oh,
that's like more important than even looking. Don't look at my art. Just wow.
Just look at the memes.
I guess I should just make memes.
I can't wait to follow you on Instagram.
Honestly, I didn't even know you made them. I just thought you found them.
There's some that I will
find.
Fine, but I always make sure to tag that. But 90% of the memes I put up there, I make.
Oh my God. And that makes them so much more special.
I'm so glad they speak to you. They speak volumes. You're the audience I want. That's it. But if you can follow that at Mandalorian underscore armoire.
As we speak.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. This is the best day ever. It is a Star Wars pun. If you don't know how to spell it, it's all spelled how it sounds. Yeah, eventually I'll make an art Instagram. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Well, I mean, we are also tagging you in Facebook or Instagram posts. So right. If you want to follow Blair, you can go to our Instagram, which is at Keep It Weird Cast. That's our Twitter, too, even though I don't remember the last time we posted on Twitter.
Best podcast ever. You guys are my favorite podcast.
You.
Seriously.
You're so sweet.
We're
so
our good. Favorite podcast,
I hope
too.
So. God damn.
We love our podcast. We love it.
You know what the only podcast I listen to is? This one.
You mean your own voice forever?
Keep well, I have to edit it, so I don't know if it counts, but it is like the only podcast I listen to. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Keep It Weird Cast and our Facebook page, Keep It Weird. Do us a huge favor, please, and head over to iTunes and subscribe and rate our show 5 stars. It's the smallest little wonderful gesture that you could do for us, and it only requires about 4 minutes of your time. Keep liking and sharing our posts. That also helps us a lot. Please. And if you get a chance, head over to www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to check out our Patreon page and see more ways that you can support and donate to the show. Blair, what's our sign off this week?
Oh, I actually have a little poem.
Oh,
I wrote you a little poem.
I'm just a little so one. Excited.
Damn, what a great episode.
Am I throwing up? Am I crying? Am I pooping?
All right. For you, Damien. Okay. I wanted to make it longer. Oh, like, this is ridiculous. God, let's not do that. I know we all love Tales from the Crypt.
I love Tales from the Crypt more than anything in the whole world.
Boils and ghouls, my time has come to an end. Though I'm getting the axe, I hope we're still friends. I must give some dead degree to our ghostesses too. Their entertainment hails the best kind of booze.
Oh my God.
Some casts are enchanted by LaCroix burps from Ashley.
Woo!
I'm still convinced they're the calls of a banshee. Sometimes a Gabby will bump in the night, grave robbing her litter in a maniacal fright. Whether sticky or spooky, you'll find bones to pick here. They'll unearth all of that in which you most fear. And if there's one mantra to forever hold dear, have yourself pleasant screams and keep it weird.
What?
Oh my God, I could you cry.
Can that be our always
I know.
What?
That's the best
That's
thing
the most
ever
special thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. I'm going to need a copy of it.
I know. Yeah, yeah. So I want it framed in my house.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Did you call us ghostesses?
Yes.
With the mostesses.
Ghostesses with the mostesses.
Blair, you truly knocked it out of the park, not only with your stories, but your sign off and being a fan. You are truly wonderful. Oh we God, love you.
We love you so much. We can't wait to come back.
I'm going to cry in my bed alone tonight.
We're all going to be emotional.
How happy everything was today.
Guys,
I've had some whiskey.
We love Blair. We love you. And keep it weird.